Welcome to another session in our ongoing series of Laws of Life. Tonight we're discussing the Law of Initiation. Our question is, what is the Divine Law of Initiation, and how can an aspirant best harness it? I've shuffled the cards, laid out the spread, and we have as follows the Queen of Pentacles at the starting point, upside down. The Knight of Swords, right side up in the counterpoint. The Seven of Swords, right side up, is the challenge. The Ace of Cups, upside down, is the purpose. The Endowment is the Six of Pentacles, upside down. The Destiny is the Nine of Swords, right side up. The coming over to the Pillar of Revelation, we have Justice in the position of the real question, upside down. Justice number 11, which is a 2. The Unseen Forces is the Page of Pentacles, upside down. The Spiritual Ideal is the Emperor, right side up, number 4 in the Major Arcana. And the culmination is the Hierophant. In spite of the fact that the illustration on the screen indicates the Emperor, obviously the Emperor can't be in two places at one time, even under the Law of Initiation. So it's the Hierophant upside down. The confusion here was 4 and 5. And when I was making up the spread, the illustration for the computer, I hit 4 accidentally instead of 5. But it was supposed to be the Hierophant. It'll be corrected tomorrow. So we have 4 upright cards and 6 reverse cards. We have 3 majors being all in the real question, Justice, the Emperor, and the Hierophant. We have 3 swords, 0 rods, 1 cup, and 3 pentacles.
Now, where's 3 pentacles?
Well, the 6 of Pentacles, the Queen of Pentacles, and the Page of Pentacles.
Page, okay.
You see the 3 there. Mm-hmm. All right. And the there is a meaning behind the distribution of things here. And that is that the fact that the 3 majors all come in the Pillar of Revelation and not in the original cross is an indication that the Law of Initiation is not something, it's something that influences our lives, but the average person is totally unaware of it. It's only once we make progress on the spiritual path that it becomes far more relevant to us. So, we will be seeing that as we go along. All right, starting in on this, then we start with the Queen of Pentacles at the starting point. It's upside down. The thing that strikes me about this card is the downward movement. You notice how the even though it's upside down, which makes it look like an upward movement, the fabric of her cloak, which is very rich ermine, it looks like, flows downward. And you can see that in many situations throughout the spread. We have the symbols of conflict in the King of Swords and the Seven of Swords. We have the V's, the chevrons on the back and on the shield tend to, and so also in the dinosaurs, tend to be flowing downward, pointed downward. Same pattern appears in the Ace of Cups, where that pattern is heading downward. In the Six of Pentacles, it's quite clear in the Nine of Pentacles, but where it flows from the head down into the vortex of the torso. All of these things are moving from heaven to earth, from above the mean to below the mean. We see it in the Six of Pentacles too, where all those triangles and the cloak itself are heading down toward the tabletop. And this is very, in the Emperor, that mantle, neck piece that he's wearing flows downward. So it's very important to understand that, the law of initiation has very little seeming importance in our lives, and yet it is of enormous importance in our lives. Now, there's an occult paradox for you if you want one. The point here being that the personality is frequently unaware of initiation, which occurs at the level of the soul. It's the soul that's initiated. It's the soul of a human being, the soul of a nation, the soul of the planetary logos that gets initiated. In the case of a planetary logos, it's initiated by extraterrestrial forces, cosmic forces, brought in from outside the system. Humanity itself became individualized by the application of initiatory force from outside the planetary system. And this is the way growth moves forward, progresses in our system. This is part of the basic design of the system that humanity doesn't understand and will never get it right until it understands this concept. And that is that growth does not occur in the personality. Yes, the personality grows physically, goes to school, learns various social skills and so on. But the genius and the talents and the skills we have are not things that are necessarily mastered by the personality. The growth is occurring at the level of the soul. And every now and again, there is a major momentous burst of stimulation, which is called initiation. And it propels the soul into new dimensions. The initiation occurs as a result of an accumulation of growth, but it is a completely different kind of energy than just steadfastly learning your lessons until you go to college and you go to a higher level or higher degree. Initiation works by applying the impulse of divine will directly into the, and the power of the word directly into our system and our awareness. And the result is a transformation which is visible from outside, but probably the personality is unaware of it. One of the things I was doing this afternoon was speculating on the fact that, and this is just speculation. I'm saying this mostly to dramatize or give you an illustration of the nature of initiation more than anything else. But I was wondering whether there ever would have been a renaissance without the Black Death first, without the plague first. And it's not that the Black Death or the plague caused the renaissance, but it cleaned out a lot of dead wood, so to speak, or made sure it was dead wood. Anyway, it cleaned out a lot of, a third of the people in Europe died as a result.
There would have been a lot of the ancient evil.
Right. That's one way of burning off the ancient evil. And as Rose just pointed out, looking at the nine of swords, this is exactly what we're talking about here. It's not just conflict, it's overwhelming opposition from the past, overwhelming resistance and grief. And oftentimes, the only way that the personality becomes aware of the potential for initiation is by undergoing that extraordinarily painful experience of loss first. That's not to say that all loss leads to initiation. That's not logical. But it is saying that in our recollection, or in our lifetime, even if not in our recollection, the great war between World War I and World War II, bookended by those two phenomena, made it possible for initiation to occur. Now, I'm not saying that humanity has been initiated as a result of that, or whether, but we won't know because those outer events made it possible for a great new stimulation to be applied. But exactly when and how that occurs is something that we don't necessarily know about. But one of the points to keep in mind here is that we're taught evolution, and evolution is a poor explanation for initiation. Humanity grows, nations grow, individuals grow along a sequence of initiations. And in between the conscious personality of the individual, the nation, or humanity itself, tries to absorb it through a series of lessons. But this is an expansion, a radius is symbolized by the Ace of Cups. It is the way in which growth occurs in the human family. And that's by design, not by accident. And so the sooner humanity is taught and learns to embrace initiation, there will be a lot of resistance to it. There was a lot of resistance to my doing this particular reading tonight in the afternoon. Not that people are consciously aware of what I will be saying, but simply because humanity is so bogged down in its finite thinking that anything as radical as the importance of initiation and human growth staggers the mind and produces a backlash. All right, so having said that, we're still talking about the Queen of Pentacles. The Queen of Pentacles is this lovely woman dressed in an ermine robe, and she's the embodiment of elegance and grace. So grace is when people invoke God's grace, they're actually asking for initiation. They don't know it, but that's the whole point here, is that it becomes a seamless stimulation to growth, which affects the soul and indirectly affects the personality. But keep in mind that, let's say you're born with a talent for music. That's not a talent that you develop in childhood. It's not a talent that you develop even in one previous life. If you're able to play an instrument like a virtuoso or compose music, that's something that you've spent many lifetimes building up that capacity, learning the basic lessons. But in addition, there is a stimulation of called initiation, which you're initiated into the realms of angelic music, and a connection is made so that your capacity to play music transcends the amount that you could learn in a single lifetime or even in a series of lifetimes. So you're great musicians, you're great artists, you're great literary people, all your great scientists, Tesla, etc. These people all demonstrate the impact of initiation on an individual level. And nations go through this. The human race goes through this. Certainly, there was a great initiation occurring in the human race at the lifetime of the Christ. And we should try to understand that and see the enormous impact that's had and how that has nurtured humanity over the last 2,000 years. Okay, so that's just the tone, and the counterpoint is the King of Swords. The King and Queen make up the point counterpoint. And what this card is suggesting is what you probably have already surmised, and that is that the power behind initiation is Ray One, and it comes through mastery. As we master certain capacities to handle energy, we gain the ability to enter into initiation. Now again, it's the soul that's initiated, and in the early initiations, the first initiation, baptism, the second, even to some degree the third initiation, it's the individual that is initiated. In each case, it's the soul. But in the higher levels, it's more than just the soul that is initiated. It's the soul and its relationship to all of humanity. And so we have to understand that we're dealing here with the design of divine life for progress. It involves growth, yes, but growth is more the residual benefit of initiation. The initiation occurs, stimulates, transforms the nature of life, and then for several lifetimes you kind of hurry to catch up with what's happened in learning the lessons and skills. So this affects our capacity to grow. It's kind of like taking a massive can opener and opening up our heads and pouring in new knowledge, new power, new love, new whatever it might be, new capacity to forgive, whatever is appropriate to us. And we have to figure out what to do with that. So this is not something that we have any choice in the matter. Like I said, we probably don't even know about it at first. We might be able to figure it out by what's happening in our internal life, but it's the soul that's initiated. It's the soul that gains new power and ability to create better personalities. And it's the same thing with a nation or the planet as a whole. Sanat Kumara, the planetary logos, is endeavoring to pass certain initiations. These all make a stronger contact with Sirius or whatever the origin of this energy is. And it's a way of elevating everything that's done throughout the planet to a higher level. Okay, so we go on then to the, let me unmute here. I muted it because there was some background noise. Let me unmute, see if there's any comments or questions. Yes.
Carl?
Yes.
Carl? Yes. When you talk about baptism, you mean that religious, in the religious sense or in the symbolic sense?
Well, in the symbolic sense, the baptism in the Christian sense is symbolic of the first initiation. First initiation is when a individual soul becomes the personality opens up contact with the soul, and from that point on there's no longer any doubt. There may be a lot of lessons learned, there may be backsliding and so on before the second initiation, but the first initiation establishes a contact. And it's estimated about a third to 40% of humanity at this point has at some point or another taken that first initiation. Not that they're consciously aware of it, but it's the sort of thing where the individual, even at the personality level, has very little doubt about the reality of the soul. Now, there are some very bright and able people walking the face of the earth who have not made this contact, and they're wandering in confusion. And their ability to grow and develop is placed on hold, or paralaya, until they take the first initiation. That capacity, that companionship with the soul, the link with the soul, is absolutely vital to this whole process. And it can't go forward unless there is that connection. And then as the anacharana is built, the ability of the personality to, like a good companion, to respond and cooperate with the process deepens and matures. But that's what the baptism is symbolic of. It has very little meaning other than that. Does that answer your question?
So you're not, so it really has no relationship to what happens to little babies in the Catholic Church when, or the Lutheran Church when, you know, they're a year old or something and the pastor sprinkles them with water.
Right. It's a lovely ceremony that has virtually no impact. When it happens to a small child, the impact is the parents are pledging to bring this child up with ethical spiritual training. The church likes to think that they're committing it to the church, but in point of fact, the real commitment is to the soul. And obviously even that can be violated and breached. But if there's never been a genuine initiation before in previous lives, that ceremony doesn't do it. At best, if there has been a initiation, the first initiation in a previous life, it honors that. And at some point, the personality will probably have some kind of a recollection of a deep-seated commitment. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be anything more than that. Who else? Any other comments or questions? We're still working with the starting point and the counterpoint. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to remute then. Going on, we have, as the challenge, we have the Seven of Swords. Now, this is interesting because the Seven of Swords is a fellow with conflict all up and down his backside. And he's looking, it's as though he's standing on top of a plateau on the way up to the mountaintop. And he's gathered seven swords to him, but that's more than he can handle. So he grabs hold of a sheaf of five swords, and he's focusing himself on bringing those five swords, or five emanations of spirit, down into the physical plane with him. The other two get left behind. It's more than he can handle. It's more than the person I can focus on. And so there is a sense here that We look for our growth, our genuine expansion of consciousness at the little soul, and then whatever we're able to grab hold of, we try to focus it into our physical life. And as a stimulation, as an expansion of duty and responsibility, and so on. And so that's how the personality participates in the initiatory process. But this, again, this involves a complete reversal of our normal thinking. We tend to think that growth occurs in the physical plane. We go to school, we learn certain lessons, we even take driver's education or something. We learn how to drive a car. And we consider that to be education. That's like, if we went out and learned how to fish, there's no real esoteric value to knowing how to fish. If you're fishing for the purpose of supplying food to your family, at least there's a sense of responsibility and duty being executed. But the skills and intricacies of the science of angling are not contributing to a closer and closer tie between you and the person, the soul. So this is all defined by spirit. Notice these are five swords. The person I can't choose the moment of initiation can't say, okay, I'm ready for the second initiation. Hit me, soul. Can't do that. It can't even decide what talents and skills it will develop once an initiation occurs. It's given, the choices is given seven of these forces, and it can choose five of the seven. That's a ratio that works pretty effectively. It's a ratio of balance in the Earth system. So we have a responsibility, and in fulfilling that responsibility, we benefit from the initiation. Going on then down to the purpose, we have the Ace of Cups upside down. The Ace of Cups is rising up, of course it's upside down, but it's rising up out of a lily pond with full lotuses or lilies in bloom. And out of the top of the cup, even though it's upside down, a sun is appearing and radiating its light into the world around us. And this is what an initiation does. It opens up a new sphere of influence. It draws upon our earthly experiences, and as we synthesize them into skill and talent, we're able to radiate the heart domain with joy, with peace, with harmony, with creativity, and so on. And that's not our creativity, not our peace, not our joy, not our harmony. It's divine harmony, joy, peace, etc. But we learn to radiate that, and in doing so, we strengthen the tie between the personality and the soul, the anacharana. And this is what growth really means. It's, we don't grow in order to achieve our own fulfillment. We grow so that we can better manage and express those archetypal forces, the five swords that the seven of swords character is holding onto and bringing down from the mountaintop. We learn through meditation to become familiar with divine forces, and then we learn to radiate them out through our sphere of influence. And that's how growth occurs in the physical, in the human family, and in the nations, and on a planetary level as well. It's all based on this impulse to initiate. And again, as I said before, without understanding initiation, you can't understand the message of human civilization, human growth. And in fact, the illusion that no growth is occurring at all becomes very persuasive. But the people who go around claiming that nothing, humanity is just as rotten and evil as it ever was, are unable to see the results and impacts of human, the initiation of the human race, or the initiations that occurred in the lifetime of the Christ. We're unable to see that, and so we discount them. Then we come to the, card of endowment. We have the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles is a fellow in a counting house with a scale. Notice how the scale will lead in a couple of cards over to justice. But he's in a counting house, and there's this big pillar that he's sitting in front of. That pillar is the noble middle way. And this is a card of balance, perhaps, but it's really a card of treading the noble middle way, the razor's edge. And that's an important part of initiation. That's what the personality and combined with the soul, the integrated soul and personality can do as a single unit, is tread the noble middle way, understanding balance, and expressing that in all the, and this is basically a balance between the personality and the soul. between life below the mean and spirit. So that's the endowment. That leads over to the card of destiny, the Nine of Swords, and we have the woman who, the spirit of Aquarius, she set her jug down, and she's overwhelmed by the appearance of the monolithic residue of ancient evil. Even the swords above her head seem to have become static influences. But, and she covers her eyes and does not wish to see. But in doing that, the covering of the eyes indicates that the true vision occurs within and is intuitive. And so intuitively, she understands that the part of her that is really growing, the soul, is not overwhelmed by the residue of ancient evil. And so she's able to work with these archetypal forces and release the planet from much of its suffering. So this is the confrontation with unredeemed elements for the purpose of redeeming them. By the time the personality, the soul, integrated soul and personality get to this point, ordinary growth has been replaced by the growth of initiation. Okay, again, let me open this up and unmute. Any comments or questions before we go on to the Pillar of Revelation? This is obviously a law that most people aren't familiar with because there's no... I don't remember any time in ordinary schooling or even in college that any of my teachers brought up the subject of initiation.
Carl.
Yes.
You mentioned that there are the first few levels, first, second, third, and then higher levels.
Right.
Is there a specific number, like seven levels, or...
Oh, there's virtually an infinite number of levels. The highest I've heard of is nine, and I don't know anybody that's reached a ninth initiation. I think you're definitely at a cosmic level. You've given up all traces of humanity at that point. You've become a comet in the sky or you know, Lucy in the sky with diamonds or whatever. I don't know. You're certainly beyond this earth realm at that point. Working as a intergalactic Blade Runner or something, I don't know. For all intents and purposes, one becomes a master of the level of at the fifth initiation. Now, in our humanity today, people like DK and others are masters, and there's a whole bunch of others. The individual, quite a few of the masters have achieved the sixth initiation. Some have gone as far as the seventh initiation. That's beyond our anything other than say, well, gee whiz willikers. Good for you. Because it's beyond our comprehension what that means. For example, Paul was an initiate of the third level. He's gone beyond that now. But in any field, the real movers and groovers, the great scientists, the great governors and government people and leaders are people who have achieved a certain level of mastery and at least the second initiation, if not higher. Now, there's a lot of people who haven't achieved that level that masquerade and think they're hot stuff. But in fact, they haven't mastered it's pretty clear from their life that they haven't done so. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that was great. All right. Very, very interesting. It's new information.
Okay. Well, if you want to read anything more on the subject, I think the book by Alice Bailey, Initiation, Human and Solar, would be the place to begin. Or you could read our essay on the subject in the Life of Spirit, the Trials of Initiation, I think it's called, in Volume 2 of the Life of Spirit. It's either Volume 2 or Volume 3, one or the other. Who knows? Wrote them a long, long time ago. I can remember writing it, but let's see. See if I can figure this out.
And I guess I've read about it, but your description tonight, it's understanding it a little bit better.
All right. Well, that's what we hope for. Okay, yes, let's see. Well, it's either Volume 2 or Volume 3. I'm guessing it's Volume 2. Rose is going to go look. Any other comments before I move on to the Book of Revelation?
Carl, I was wondering about time. You know, if we read about Hercules and then Buddha, the Christ, when you think of the soul, I mean, were all souls created at the same time?
No.
So there are souls that go back much further.
Well, there's souls that came into the Earth plane from a galaxy far, far away.
Okay.
You know, 18 million years ago or something.
Okay.
It is, in fact.
Are we just slugs? I mean.
What?
Are we all just slugs, or I'm speaking for myself? That, you know, we're just so innocent yet and unknowing compared to these other amazing souls. I mean,
well, according to the Tibetan in the Alice Bailey material, there's two groups. There's a group of souls that came in from a galaxy far, far away, and they're the more experienced souls. And then there's the new group of human beings, which is still millions of years old, but the people that individualized on this planet, they didn't come in from anywhere else. Their sum total of experience is the is from the Earth. And according to the Tibetan, the Buddha represents the last person of the incoming from out, you know, incoming souls from somewhere else to achieve enlightenment. And the Christ, Jesus, represents the very first of the souls that developed on Earth to achieve enlightenment and mastery.
With seven rays, could be unique to us then?
No.
Okay.
They're cosmic energies.
Okay.
And now the case is not that we're all slugs or whatever. Jesus was exceptionally adept at responding to the stimulation of initiation. But he sets the example of what can be done, and as the Tibetan does say elsewhere in Alice, he says that if we had all capitalized on every opportunity to grow that was presented to us, we would all be masters by now. Meaning we would have taken the fifth initiation or more. So we have dropped a few opportunities. We're all culpable for missing a few opportunities. Some people more culpable than others.
You were just saying Ray 1, too.
No, not just Ray 1. Ray 1 is the force that impels initiation. But you don't.
Can we read that Jesus was a Ray One mind?
No, no. No.
Isn't that, I thought we somewhere they were talking about. What did I read that?
What,
talking about.
You said the power behind.
They were taking some of these. I know it was about Jesus and about some of his rays. I thought it was a Ray One something.
No, well, I mean, it could be a Ray One etheric or something like that. But again, it's not the personality that's initiated, it's the soul. Very important. And,
I don't know if Dorothy heard you say this.
What?
Where this was.
Oh, the answer to the earlier question is that the essay on initiation in the Life and Spirit series is in the Life and Spirit Volume 2.
It's called The Trials of.
The Trials of Initiation is the essay.
And you really need to read the next one with it, The Path to Transfiguration.
Okay.
Those two sort of go together.
According to Rose, it's worthless to read the one without reading the next one.
No, I didn't say it was worthless. I said they go together.
They go together. The next one being The Path to Transfiguration. So, well.
None of these essays would be worthless to read, dear.
Well. all right.
Really putting words in my mouth.
I try. All right. I'm going to remute here because I'm getting the echo. Going on then to the pillar of revelation, in the position of the real question, we have justice. And justice is a major card, number 11 or 2. And it embodies the idea of balance, the noble middle way that we talked about before. What this is strongly suggesting to me is that once we can only embark on the path of initiation by embracing the divine laws we're talking about here. And again, we have to re-educate ourselves into thinking, realizing that the real dynamic of our lifetime is nothing of the personality, it's entirely of the soul. It's the soul that's calling all the shots. It's the soul that gets initiated. It's the soul that undergoes expansion of consciousness. It's the soul that grows, and it grows not on a steady upward incline. It grows by sudden explosions called initiation. And this is all part of being human being. So, the real question is, what is the divine intent in any circumstance of life? What is God trying to do? What are the origins, the divine origins of any energy we're working with? Let's say we're trying to better understand joy. What is the divine origin of joy? You'll find that if you trace joy far enough, you're going out into the zodiac, into cosmic dimensions of other planets, other solar systems, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a definite link there that has an initiatory impact itself. But the point here is we don't just think of human life in terms of our very confined, limited, carefully manicured physical body or personality. We are meant to go beyond our limitations and understand that our life only makes sense in the larger life of our nation and of the Christ, the body of Christ, and those forces only make sense in the context of the body of the one about whom naught can be said, Irving, and I'm not even allowed to say that much. who holds court on Sirius or someplace. In any event, the more we get in the habit of understanding that there are divine origins for everything that we consider worthwhile, all the treasures of spirit, the intuition, the mind, wisdom, compassion, benevolence, all these things have their own origin in extra systemic levels in the mind of God. And so we make a contact with those higher levels by tracing these things back to their origin and not falling for the idea that, well, religion first appeared on the face of the earth about 2,000 years before Christ. No, it's been around for a long, long time. And the human race has been around for a long, long time before anything history records. It's interesting, when I was a kid growing up, as about the same time as all of us were growing up, I learned in school that there were people who thought that humanity was 6,000 years old. And that meant that there was nothing before about 4,000 BC, because, of course, we've got 2,000 years after the time of Christ. And so now you go over to the there's an Indian museum about 40 miles away from here in Waleska, Georgia. And there will be a quiz on that name, Waleska, later on. But there they tell you that Indians first appeared in the North American continent about 15,000 years ago. Well, that's a good 9,000 years more than we were even told anybody had been around anywhere on Earth back when we were kiddies. And so humanity has expanded its scope. I would dare say that humanity has been around for hundreds of thousands of years. It's just that the earlier populations either sunk with Atlantis or were buried under so much rubble century after century that we can't find it anymore. But if we were to go down 50 feet in some places, we could probably find it. Signs of it, but archaeology hasn't reached that level of sophistication yet. So we've been around, we've been acting, and gradually through the benefit of these expansions like the Renaissance, stimulation, initiation, we have grown. We've grown in scope and in power and in impact. Okay, so the real question is, what is the origin? What is the divine design? What is the divine intent behind, you know, the pragmatic implication of initiation is that you start initiating new things. You initiate new principles of electricity if you're Nikola Tesla. You initiate new concepts if you're Aristotle or Socrates. You initiate new this, new that. But you have to be in tune with the divine plan to do that. So all these archetypal forces that we see in the Seven of Swords or the Nine of Swords are there to be tapped, and we become avatars of those sources. And every once in a while we get an avatar like a Christ or the Buddha who is able to transcend, follow those back so far that their minds actually traveled outside of the planetary system and draw it in from somewhere else. And that's all part of humanity. Now, you tell that to your standard card-carrying member of the ACLU, and they'll spit at you. They'll laugh at you. They don't have the comprehension. They can't escape the boundaries of their own limited thinking. They are not in harmony with the law of initiation in any way, shape, or form. They think that by going to Princeton or Harvard or Dartmouth or Brown, they've gotten the keys to the garden. And they have no idea where true wisdom comes from. All right, so we go on to the next card, which is the Unseen Forces. We have the Page of Pentacles. And of course, that is the, this is the, force of ignorance and mass consciousness. The Page of Pentacles is somebody just learning to work with the lessons of the physical plane, not the emotions, not the mind. There are people of physical consciousness who are just learning what it means to survive. And everything gets reduced down to the physical plane, and they are numb, dumb, and unaware when it comes to the higher levels of life. Those are the hidden forces that are constantly bogging down human thinking in materialism. And we have to deal with that, because our capacity to work with initiation is constantly, you know, there's constant backlash. Just doing this tonight is stirring up, riling up antagonism among certain fundamentalist forces that want to believe in their finite, narrow-minded dogma. So we won't talk about that too much. But we go on to the spiritual ideal, and that's of the emperor. And that's the ideal of nurturing. Our work is to redeem life on earth, to nurture. The emperor is taking care of his window garden there, the plants that are growing just in front of him. And, of course, that's symbolic of many great and wonderful things, wondrous things. But he learns to take responsibility for his husbandry and his growth. And the personality becomes an agent of growth here in the physical plane that encourages other people to grow and encourages other people to develop and maybe gives them a little peek into the realm above the mean so they can understand a little bit more about the divine origin of joy and peace and beauty and so on. It's what Elizabeth Barrett Browning calls the reality behind the show. The show is the physical plane, and it's what most people think is all important. And she defines reality as that which is behind the show and gives rise to it, that which animates the show. In other words, spirit above the mean. The archetypal forces. She's specifically talking about archetypal forces in the poem Aurora Leigh when she utters that or writes that line. So this is our opportunity to serve as an agent of the law of initiation. We do what we can to initiate new trends and new understandings on earth, to nurture our life and the life of those around us, the life of civilization, the life of the nation, the best we can. We realize that we're matched in that by the forces of ignorance, which still have a powerful drag on human civilization. But there you have it. This is the way in which we prepare the body of humanity for its initiations. Then we come to the fulfillment, the Hierophant. The Hierophant is the fifth card in the major arcana. A Hierophant is the keeper of the secrets. Now, there really aren't any secrets in the divine mind, but this more or less balances out the Page of Pentacles, where the Page of Pentacles looks for answers in the mud and the grime and the soil, whereas the Hierophant knows that the answers are found in the secrets, the mysteries. So it's wisdom that unlocks. And notice that at the bottom of the card, which is, since it's upside down, it's at the top, there are two keys. The Hierophant is the keeper of wisdom and the keeper of the secrets, the roots of spirit, so to speak, the treasures of spirit. And what this implies is that we can only, the true initiation occurs at abstract levels above the mean in the energy, level of energy and force. It doesn't happen in form, but because of our connection as the, apparently, the agent of light, our personality, the personality of the nation, the personality of the earth itself is able to import the forces of redemption and transfigure life on earth. Okay, I've talked enough. My throat is starting to give way. I will open this up and entertain more comments and questions about the law of initiation. I guess to summarize it, it would in very basic terms, the law of initiation means that nothing happens on earth until it's initiated by God. And so nothing happens in our lives until we make it possible for the soul to step in and have control over our life. It gives a whole new level of dignity and meaning to our existence, and that allows us to think of ourselves as the Queen of Pentacles. It also shatters a whole lot of illusions. We should keep in mind that when we're talking about the Ace of Cups down here, the Ace of Cups also stands for all the glamours in the world about initiation. I went online to find a picture for tonight to accompany the layout that I have on the screen. I couldn't find anything except the highly glamorized, you know, things with Knight Templars and and people in England, the knighting of a person, making him a sir or a dame. Well, not making him a dame, but making him a sir or her a dame, is a secular version of initiation. It's kind of an empty kind of thing. Anytime you have Paul McCartney being Sir Paul McCartney, just because he sang Let It Be, doesn't move me with great respect for anybody else with the name Sir in front of them. But in any event, it is a kind of a pageantry that embraces the glamours of initiation. So as we think about the law of initiation, we have to be very careful to dispel all of the glamours of initiation and understand that this is something that goes on at the level of the divine, and it affects the soul, and indirectly that may or may not affect us. But we don't need to worry about that. All we need to worry about is that all of the major elements of our life have a divine origin. And when we think about initiating a new trend in life, we need to make sure that we're accurately reading the intuitive input of the soul. We don't want to go off and initiate something that the soul's not interested in. Of course, it won't tolerate that. But nonetheless, we can glamorize ourselves. We can delude ourselves. And that's how we miss genuine opportunities to grow and develop. Okay, comments and questions?
Well,
Rose.
I don't know if this has anything to do with this reading or not, but I was wondering about the attack, all the various attacks on Christianity. Is that just because Ray 6 is going out? Or is there more?
Well,
it's
in part because Ray 6 is fading. It's partly because Christianity deserves to be attacked. But
it does?
Well, all the other religions deserve it too. But we're in a country that has focused on Christianity more Protestant than anything. And, well, I mean, you know, Islam deserves outright annihilation. I'm at least being generous when I'm talking about Christianity deserving to be attacked. It has taken its position and has turned it into something that lies entirely beneath the mean, rather than something that reveals to ordinary people what lies above the mean, what is in divine thinking and mind. But of all the major religions, all of them are in desperate need of reform. That's why Dr. Lightman's series on resurrecting Christianity is so vital, so significant at this point. Even if very few people read it, it's very important to get those ideas out, down and out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the most recent major religion to come along is 2,000 years old now. And
but as Alice would say, most people haven't tried it yet.
Yes, well, that's true. Most people haven't tried any of them yet. Buddhism is, you know, all you have to do is recognize that Zen Buddhism is Zen to understand that it's in vast need of reform.
Mm-hmm.
Hinduism needs reform. Buddhism was meant to be a reform of Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Christianity was never intended to be Christianity, it was meant to be a reform of Judaism. But they were the Page of Pentacles facing the mud and unable to rise out of the mud, the muddy ruts that they had gotten into.
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity is most of these religions just deserve to be eliminated. Christianity is desperately in need of reform. And so it's an easy attack to make. The atheists and agnostics that conduct the attacks have no idea what they're talking about. Not a clue. They are the Page of Pentacles. But nonetheless, it's an easy target. It's a cheap target. Cheap comments. Cheap shots.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question? Or lead to further speculation?
Ponder
on that. Who else wants to jump? Go ahead.
Will all levels of creation experience initiation? I mean, is it like a definite aspect of evolution that is the process for
it's not. All right. First of all, it's a definite process of growth. Evolution is not the right word to use because it's gotten, life does evolve, but if all it did was evolve, we'd still be back in caves. Initiation is what really gives us the impetus to move forward. And it allows us to work things out in our own lives under the guidance and will of the soul. But yes, the answer to your question is yes. When the animal kingdom leaves behind its group consciousness, a group soul, and individualizes, that's an initiation. When the plant kingdom reaches its highest maturity, that's an initiation. And so this is a constant pattern. This is a law that governs not just humanity, but everything on earth. And we really need to think in that context. Our growth only makes sense in the context of the growth of the planetary logos. We wouldn't have any reason for being here except that we're busy redeeming life. Who else? What else? Any other comments or questions? Well, that's it for this one. I hope you now understand the law of evolution and will pay all your...
Initiation.
Did I say evolution?
Yes.
I'm getting tired. The law of initiation. And I will avoid trying to think of jokes. Because they get me into trouble. But anyway, thank you and good night.